Okay, we're up to
'Actual sources, we can't separate truma and maaser from food because this makes it like fit to be eaten, and this is too much like a metaken kli, like fixing a kli. Therefore, all of these things are all going to be usher on Shabbos and Yontif, both together. So again, so what are the three categories? There's shvus, rishus, and mitzvah. Shvus are the regular things that are therefore regular activities that are usher, the rabbis say, because of what they might lead to. Rishus are the optional mitzvahs that a person might want to do, but you can't do them because of the potential prohibitions that might come from it, the potential violations. And finally, mitzvah are the things that are mitzvahs to do all the time, regularly, but still these things are prohibited as well because of the potential issues associated with them. And then the Mishnah says, Kol ilu, all these three categories, b'yom tov amru kal v'chomer b'shabbos. Like the exact opposite. So the Chazal say that, in connection to Yontif, all things that are prohibited in connection to Yontif, they also apply on Shabbos as well. So it's basically like both are true. Anything that's on applies on Shabbos applies in Yontif, and anything that applies in Yontif also applies on Shabbos. Ein bein yom tov l'shabbos, ela ochel nefesh b'levan. And then finally the Mishnah concludes, That there's not going to be any difference between Shabbos and Yontif except in regards to food preparation. When it comes to a malacha for food preparation, you can do that on Yontif, but you can't do that on Shabbos. But otherwise, they're entirely the same. This is actually not seemingly how we pasken. This is the opinion of Beis Shammai and not of Beis Hillel. But nonetheless, this is what this Mishnah holds. Like again, that there's no difference between Yontif and Shabbos except regarding food preparation. That you could do food preparation a malacha for food preparation on Yontif, but you can't do malacha for food preparation on Shabbos. Okay, that's Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Gimel is the last of the five Mishnayos of the Masechta. And all these last five Mishnayos have to do with Tuchum on Shabbos and Yantif. The way the Tuchum for dummies, the only need to know is two things. One, that the way it works is that you are defined before Yontif starts, before Shabbos starts, you have a defined location. That could either be the place you're living or the place you're standing, if it's in the middle of the desert, or something like that. So basically, you're allowed to only go 2,000 amos from that place. The only difference is over here between a lone house in the middle of nowhere or a house in the middle of the city is that if you're in the middle of a city, you can go 2,000 amos outside of the city, and if you're a house in the middle of nowhere, then you can only go 2,000 amos away from that house in all directions. Now there is something called an Eruv Techumen, and what that does is basically it adds 2,000 amos in one direction. So let's say a person's in point A, and they put you put the Eruv in 2,000 amos from there, and then you can walk another 2,000 amos. So if I'm in point A, point B is 2,000 amos in front of me toward in the north, and that's where my Eruv is. So I could walk another 2,000 amos past that. That means a total of 4,000 amos north from point A. However, what that does is that also eliminates that I can't go into the south, because that would be too far at that point. So therefore, an Erev has pluses and minuses. I've only seen an Erev Techumen once. I was once at a family in Maine. They used to live in the woods of Maine, and they were literally living in the middle of nowhere, no Jewish community, no nothing, an Orthodox family. And they used to have, they had an Erev Techumen, they set it up high in a tree so that no bears could get it because they were living in the middle of the forest. And, they were able to walk then 4,000 amos in one direction, because of the fact that he had this Erev high up in a tree somewhere. Anyway, so that's what the last five Mishnahs are going to be dealing with. Erev Techumen. It's going to be dealing with Techum Shabbos. So the Mishnah starts off with an important rule, Mishnah Gimel. Habehima va'akilim kiragli haba'alim. That, animals and kelim, that the person's, animals and utensils have the same Techum of their owner. So in other words, let's go with the regular case. If you're obligated to not go, if you can only go in a 2,000 amos radius from where you are standing, from where your house is, then your animals and kelim can also not go past that. They can only go 2,000 amos from where you are standing as well, from your location as well. Now, what are the implications of this? So you say, who cares? Obviously, they're not going to go anywhere. Well, you have the following case: Hamoser behemto livno o liroe hare ilu kiragli habalim. If a person hands over his animals to either his son or to his shepherd on Yontif to bring them to pasture, so these animals will have the same tuchum as their owner, because you didn't know who you were going to give them to before Yontif. Now Yontif has arrived, so that they have your tuchum, your animals, and you don't obviously have the same restrictions as the guy you're giving them over to, either your son or the shepherd. So therefore, he could walk further than you in some cases, and you could walk further than him in some cases. So if you hand over the animals to your son or to your shepherd on Yontif to bring them to pasture, the animals will have the same tuchum as the owner, and that is final. So they could only go as far as where the owner would be able to go. And then finally, the mission concludes with the following case: Kelim hamiyuchadin la'echad min ha'achin shevabayis. Let's say you have a whole bunch of brothers that inherited a house filled with things, but they don't live in that house. They all live in different places, and they all have different tuchum radiuses. So if the utensils that are jointly owned by several brothers are specifically designated to be used by one of the brothers, so hare ilu karaglav. So these kelim will have this brother's tuchum, even though the other brother is also technically own them. But if all the utensils are not designated for any one brother, but are used by all of them, so they can be moved only among the places where all the brothers could go. So if there's only like a 100 amos area where all the brothers are able to go, then the kelim only have a tuchum of 100 amos that Shabbos or that Yontif. But again, if they're owned by one brother in particular, then they have his tuchum radius, but not the tuchum radius of the other brothers. So that brings us to the end of Mishnah Gimel. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Dalet, but for now, we'll stop right here.